It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Yes, hello everyone, and welcome once again to the Super Footy Podcast. I'm Anthony Hudson, and it seems like asthma from China might be striking me early as we welcome Mick Warner and Lauren Wood to look back on a massive round of footy and look ahead to the big clash, the traditional rivals in China, Port Adelaide and the Gold Coast Suns. Welcome, Loz.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's great to be back. And I tell you what, it's going to be an interesting day at the Zhangwan Sports Paradise in Shanghai.
Sports Paradise.
On Sunday. Well, according to my Google Maps, it's telling me that's the official sports complex. It's not too far outside the city of Shanghai, but particularly Gold Coast Suns, it sounds like they're going to be in for one hell of a journey there.
And Mick Warner,
before we get to that,
but hang on, just before we do get to that, I mean, you revealed on the Footy Podcast a couple of years ago that you'd never gone to Adelaide.
I haven't been to Shanghai.
And it's my belief that you were meant to be going to Shanghai, but you refused because you weren't going to fly business. Is that correct, Mick?
Well, a couple of things on that.
Or did the Chinese government not approve you?
I said a few things on it about 3 weeks back.
That's probably more
about Adelaide, and I've got a couple of tweets. So I want to apologise about the Adelaide Oval. It is a great place.
It is.
That was out of line by me. Shanghai, no, never been, and I'd love to go. But before we talk about that game, I couldn't believe it. They showed a highlights reel of the weekend's action, and you called Buddy's long bomb from 80 and Gazza's goal from the paint, as you called it. You're just everywhere, mate.
I didn't say from the paint.
I think you said something.
From the corner.
From the corner.
In premium economy.
That's a good call. He turns left.
There was some economy travel on the weekend.
Economy, as the Sydney Morning Herald called it.
There was some. But
you're
my job.
A part of history.
It's pretty cool
when you look back and all these 13, all this sort of stuff. It's you. I mean, well done.
Oh, well, so that's my job. It's great fun.
What's your best ever? Your signature move? I think it's the one that hurt you the most. Nick Davis.
Yeah.
I see it, but I don't believe it. I bloody hate it.
I will say, though, man, I've been lucky to be calling a lot of the Buddy stuff along the way. And yesterday,
long.
Did you write that into your contract at
his longest. It was an incredible goal.
Where was Roosie when he kicked that goal?
Roosie?
Who said that, you know, that the contract destroyed the culture of the club.
I think he was.
Well, he didn't say that.
I think he was probably covering his new team, Melbourne, at the MCG.
Or his other new team, Collingwood.
Let's talk about China. We touched on it briefly. It's obviously something that Rocket didn't sound too enthusiastic about it on the weekend. Is it fair?
Well, there's a lot of hurdles they've got to jump. I mean, we heard Rocket yesterday, as you said. Not only is he, you know, facing a 20-hour journey, basically door-to-door. You can't fly directly from the Gold Coast, I don't believe.
They'll be
getting a bus to Brisbane, and then they'll be going from there. So
is it direct to Shanghai from there, or are you got to do a bit of
TBC,
Sydney?
I think, on that one.
Well, is there movement on that front, is there?
Oh, we don't know. We're just trying to follow it up today.
Right.
So
I think Rocket said there's no direct flight.
No, so he's saying it's basically going to take
20
to 21 hours from start to finish. So they got that to contend with. Obviously, the conditions in Shanghai aren't ideal at the moment.
Sandstorm.
We've got 31 degrees forecast
is
for Sunday.
Is there really going to be a sandstorm?
Massive sandstorm, apparently, sweeping its way through China.
It would be great if it hit
Shanghai.
Just
so
before
based
the
on reports, you know, done a bit.
Only Trent Cotchin would kick into the sandstorm.
But according to the bit of Googling this morning, it's set to hit Shanghai on Friday. So all of the residents they've been told to shut your windows, don the face masks, and basically avoid all outdoor activities, which I don't know about you guys, but I think that would include playing games of football outside.
And the alarming thing is when Rocket Eid says no asthma sufferers will travel. Now, if that's serious, that just compromises the game, doesn't it?
Well, it does.
They're not sending their best team.
How many blokes will suddenly get breathing issues, do you reckon, this week?
Well, you think people would not want to play an AFL game?
Well, what's the team sheet going to look like?
In Shanghai.
You know, in brackets, respiratory issues. I don't think we would have ever seen that before, would we?
You mentioned economy before,
but they could be flying that too.
Yeah. Well, can they rehearse it and go down to the beach and have a practice and get a fan going or something?
I tell you, I personally think it's a joke that they're flying economy. Now, I know NFL sides play games in London, but they would go on a jet, I imagine, with full layout beds. And that's only a 5-hour flight, maybe a bit longer from the other coast. But
some of the
isn't
planes
economy
now,
a joke?
Well, some of the planes.
How professional are we?
Well, it depends how many, whether they actually have to sit next to each other.
What about 2 metre Peter up
in
77J?
Well, I think he'll be one that'll qualify for the tall exit row or premium economy.
Some of the planes now are really big and have a lot of
I don't know the last time you went international in economy. But
but as you say about getting extra
took the whole
seats,
family out the front.
Does that mean then
pointy end?
They're going to have to book a whole lot of extra seats, and there's a cost associated with that.
Well, there is.
One thing I thought of this morning too.
Of course, you'll pay it.
The other team maybe
potentially may have done a deal. Yeah, maybe
which
have had a bit of initiative to fly on separate flights, maybe to get everyone into the premium economy, but. Airline food isn't ideal either. So if you're travelling 20 hours, do you take your own?
Have we thought this through?
You could take your own to some degree.
Why are we playing in China?
I don't know. Is it a money thing?
Oh, plenty of the folding stuff involved. But it's just to me, I reckon Hinkley and Ede, deep down, would think, could this compromise our season?
They get a week off after.
Get the week off.
Yeah. Ludicrous, I think, was the way that Roosie described it. Over the weekend, and
he's always full of praise for the AFL initiative.
He is, isn't he?
Is it true that the game is going to be seen televised into China, and 50 million people are going to watch it?
Well, that was the plan along.
Well, if it isn't happening, why is the game happening? Is what I'll say.
Well, let's just say those figures have always been a bit rubbery when it comes to. I remember Tim Webster used to start the Channel 10 coverage of the Melbourne Cup by saying, 400 billion people around the world. I think there was more people than actually existed in the world.
400 billion. Anyway.
The competition itself, amazing weekend of footy, and I think as quite a few people have mentioned already, the first time the teams below have all won on the weekend since 1975.
Yep.
And,
which is a long time. I can tell from experience, being born in 74.
Yeah, so you remember that round, do you?
I do remember it well.
I thought it meant good things for Melbourne Victory on Sunday night too, that it might have been the omen that they needed, but anyway.
What year were you born, Hutto?
71, Mick.
Lauren?
I'll never ask a lady her age, do you, Mick? No, 88, bicentennial.
Oh, 88.
I'm leaving. That was my year 12 year.
God, I'm trying to think. That was Hawthorn beat Melbourne. No. Yeah, Hawthorn beat Melbourne by 90 points.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, it was my first grand final.
I wasn't born in the
and
September
Norm
of
Smith
the year.
Norm Smith. Gary Ayres.
Gary Ayres. Oh, sorry, I thought you were saying Norm Smith himself.
No. Was it quite, did Ayres win in 88?
I wasn't born yet. I wasn't born until December, so wasn't even here.
I have to check that.
But don't.
He definitely won in two. Anyway.
Yeah. Paul Deer won in 91.
And the Brownlow, was that Jared Healy, 88?
88 or, I think so. Yeah, I think that was 88. Yep.
You know. I can go through every year like that.
Oh, we haven't got the time. I don't think.
Well, clearly not nailing him.
I just got them all right by pretending.
Were you one of those kids? Yeah, were you? Yeah, that was just
Rain Man of those stats.
Yeah, all right.
2001.
Anyway, we've got a separate podcast for Mick and his followers as he goes through all of that. But has the AFL really achieved its nirvana by this? By the uncertainty, each week we now face the old any given Sunday, or in our case, any given Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday night, or public holiday.
Well, it's a pretty small sample size. We're going off one round, but a few people said it over the weekend that the AFL did cop a lot over the last few years for draft concessions and COLA and all these sorts of things, but it was, we mentioned Egg on Your Face round a few weeks ago. I think we had another one thrown in there. This was Faulty Towers, according to Luke Beveridge. But it was underdog round, and it was equalisation round, really. It was, perfect round for fans that it just went to show, even, North down in Hobart. Anyone could turn up to a game and think their team was going to win over the weekend.
So why is it? Why?
Because it was an anomaly.
You just think it's an anomaly? Yeah, how many times can you say anomaly?
Once. The Giants are not an equalisation. I still believe they're Frankenstein. But I know you want to talk about them later, but
I think we should.
You want to talk about
them? Well, we can discuss them to a degree now, because You did say that they would be undefeated.
Yes, I did, and they've only lost twice. So
bring
I was
that
only...
up every week.
And injuries are hurting them.
Yeah.
Matthew Lloyd's comments that there's disunity, or not so much disunity, but the way there's discipline issues, and they're not all on the same page, and it's a tough gig for Leon Cameron, all these high-end draft picks to control them. Is there validity in that? Are we seeing them sort of fall apart a little bit around the edges?
Well, I think it's not helped, obviously, by their injuries. They lost Haynes last week. They lost Kennedy on the weekend through an ACL. They've been without Lachie Whitfield. How much depth is left is, you know, and we'll touch on that a little bit later too. But it wasn't ideal. I think that goes without saying. But I don't know. I'm still a believer, as you said, the Frankenstein factor.
Their offense is amazing.
But there was a bit of niggle between a few players the other night.
But Nick Maxwell, who's a good mate, and he's got a great runner. He's the runner. Remember him and Heath Shaw used to get into each other. I mean,
and they were good mates.
That confrontational style of leadership.
I don't have a problem with that so much. But there are other. There is an interesting dynamic there, like you alluded to, with they're all elite juniors, and there's no real. That's why I think they brought in Mazungo and De Boer, actually, who are both injured, I believe. Well, I know Mazungo.
Yeah, I think De Boer was an emergency on the weekend.
Yeah, was he? Yeah, so
he might get. They might be getting games. So I know you said. Yeah. Mazungu's had a long-term injury. Their offense is amazing when they get going. Even on the weekend on Friday, it looks scary at times, their ball move, and you think, wow. But they do give you a chance to score the other way, and they have been hurt by injury the other. And Gary Lyon made the point in our commentary on Friday night on SEN, is he just wants to see them score goals the hard way as well, not just the easy way.
That prelim was the hard way.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It's one of the hardest games.
But within a normal game.
And so was the Sydney final.
But no one's questioning their lack of hardness at the ball, but it's more that sort of...
The other
not
way.
Not a pure goal every time, where it's just beautiful skills and it's just get it in and a bit of that as well.
Well, Whitfield will be back. Your mate Stevie J is in trouble.
In trouble, is he?
Well, he looks to be in trouble.
Leon said it was his best...
First quarter, he had 11 disposals. I wonder if he'll be there at the end. The crowd was appalling. 21,000. They don't pull a crowd, the Giants.
No, they don't. But I think
I thought more Saints fans would turn up. We don't get many Friday nights.
No, we haven't had one in 2 years.
Yeah.
Should have turned up. It was a poor crowd.
St Kilda were worried beforehand. They didn't have any idea what the crowd was going to be. They were really unsure about it. But it's a turning point night for St Kilda. It felt that way.
Yeah.
They had to win that game, I think, if they were going to be more than just middle of the table. Previous to that, they'd lost to the three teams above and beaten three teams below. They were ninth. It was all middle, and when are they going to rise? And significantly, they did their damage without their two old players doing much at all.
Yeah, Riewoldt, I think he ended up scoring about 65-odd Supercoach points, which is probably the lowest for him for a really long time. But... Yeah, I think, and it was the ability to obviously build on what they did the previous week. You know, in previous years, they've been a bit up and down. I think Alan Richardson been the first to admit, it was always a bit of a roller coaster. So they'll take huge confidence from being able to do it 2 weeks in a row.
Love Gresham.
Yeah, and Seb Ross.
Gresham.
Yeah, he's close to an elite. Their defence, no doubt Brown and Carl have really stiffened them and still allowed Robertson and Webster.
Yep.
So look, there's a lot of positives about the Saints. So we're talking about the evenness of the competition, though. Adelaide lost on the weekend.
They didn't just lose.
No. So does that – I know, Lauren, you want to talk about it, which we'll get to shortly, but from a North Melbourne point of view. But Adelaide losing. The Bulldogs just managed to get over Richmond. So West Coast, who were absolutely slammed 2 weeks ago, have put together two wins, including a win on the road on the weekend. So – you know, Port, who, a lot we're talking up as that fourth best team. They lost at home on the weekend. Saints have moved into the eight.
I think they're thinking ahead to China.
All right. So a very even competition. Time now, though, for our first segment. It's time to, just rewind the tape. If you could, be kind, rewind. Mick, you're going first here.
Well, my be kind rewind we just alluded to is Melbourne, and I'll explain it like this. The noise of affirmation in the MCC early in that game suggested to me that Melbourne was playing with insufficient intent. And by that, they didn't turn up to play. Ooh. And they almost got there in the end, but they just weren't switched on. And it's such typical Melbourne. I've seen them a lot this year. They're up and down. There's no consistency of their performance.
Their good is very good. Their second half, their third quarter, which is what I saw first, because I just finished the other game. I thought, how good is Melbourne? That looked terrific. But clearly they overhandballed in the first quarter, first half in particular, and they were, as you said, they just didn't, and Simon Goodwin admitted, they just didn't turn up from a contest point of view in that first half on the Hawks.
That'd be bitterly disappointing.
But that's a huge, big loss for them, isn't it?
Yep. Be frustrating, I reckon, for D's fans, just that they're
I think they're used to it, to be honest.
They just couldn't get it done.
They are still a young team.
Look, they'll be right, but I just thought that was one they had to capitalise.
It's interesting. Terry Wallace made the point this morning that he doesn't think they'll be a team to contend with while they've got the two McDonalds and Frost as their three defensive posts. They just, because they're not good decision makers. They're not good users of the ball.
Okay.
I think Frost actually played a really good game, a really aggressive game, but... yeah, it's interesting that he was that strong on Melbourne. What about you, Loz?
We talked about the Giants a little bit earlier, but mine's definitely that the Giants shouldn't have traded Jack Steele.
Talked
about, obviously, they got a very close look at him in red, white and black on Friday night, and I just think he's the sort of player that would be coming in really handy for the Giants right about now. Obviously, all of the injuries and various issues that they're contending with, he's absolutely blistering.
The good super coach at the pick Saints, up for those who
fantastic.
Picked him. I didn't get him.
No,
another loss on the weekend.
He's the sort of soldier, you're right, that the Giants needed. But they probably got a first round pick for him, did they? Or would they get? No, they didn't actually pick.
I think it was
7-ish.
Yeah, it was a mid pick, I think. Mine is just a little one. I know you've put the Cats on the agenda a little bit later, Mick, but I was up there on Saturday night and the Gold Coast were really good. But Geelong, this is just a little tiny one. It was still 10 minutes to go, 8-9 minutes to go. They did two kick-ins straight down the guts. Like you do that in the last 2 minutes.
Right.
Straight down the guts. Just one was Tui. I can't remember who the other one. One was going for a big Torp. And it just, the Gold Coast had all their numbers there and they just turned it straight back over and sent it back inside to score again. And, oh, it was so frustrating. I try and be dispassionate when I'm calling.
Well, that came through in the Nick Davis call.
So I had to just, what happens? The only way you can do around it is you point to the blokes you're commentating with and you write down, the bloody kick-ins, oh, it's driving me crazy.
And then let them talk. You never see a down the middle kick out
not
until
unless
1 minute to go.
Not unless you've got the structure
open,
there and you think you can knock it over the top and into space, but it happened several times, and as a supporter, there's nothing more frustrating than that. The other little strange thing about Geelong was Lachie Henderson's really late withdrawal in that game, and he ran off the ground. We were on the ground about to do our opener. It was probably about 20 minutes to go. He ran off the ground, and then...
What's wrong with him?
Well, I think they said he got hit in the ribs in the pre-match.
In the warm-up. What about Daniel Wells did the warm-up too for Collingwood?
Yeah, that was a strange one, the Cats. I went out to Chris Scott's press conference at the airport on Friday when they were sort of ready to take off to the Gold Coast, and he took all three emergencies and flagged Menegola's potential inclusion on Friday morning, saying that it's still a really live chance that Sam could play for us.
Yeah.
And then
there must have been a few.
I didn't think it'd be left that late.
But you would think if Henderson went out, that Stewart would have come back in. But Menegola played a really good game.
He did.
3 goals.
We'll talk about Geelong in the Is It Just Me's.
All right. Well, that is coming up. But next, let's put Collingwood on the agenda. And the Pies may have, just before we get into the nuts and bolts of the situation, the Pies may have lost, but there was still cause to celebrate their 125th anniversary. It wouldn't have felt like that on Saturday night. Of course, the Sunday Herald Sun did that by naming the top 25 players in the club's history and speaking with former stars, including Nick Maxwell and Tony Shaw, as well as Mick Malthouse, on what Collingwood means to them in a special podcast series. So you can head to heraldsun.com.au to read and listen.
Well, my Spies are at that big function, the 125th year anniversary,
massive night,
where
wasn't it?
Eddie Maguire got
Delta
up with
Goodrum.
The orchestra and sang the song, even though they'd been thumped by Carlton.
So how was it?
He gave like a Winston Churchill style speech from the pulpit. Is that what you're saying? About we can fight back from here.
We'll get them on the beaches and we'll get them in China.
Just not at the G. But Mick Malthouse, I'm told, got the biggest roar of the night from the faithful, which just says to me the mood on the street is there's some disgruntlement at Collingwood, and that's obvious, 2-5.
Horrible, though, to have to front
scrim.
Up to a huge function like that, huge celebration of the club.
It
after what had
happens
happened,
that
you know,
way.
3 or 4 hours earlier, it's one or the other, isn't it? You're either that sort of club that doesn't lose on function night, or...
Most clubs do on Monster nights. But
it was funny, actually, the week before, 2 weeks ago, there'd been all this love for Bob Murphy for his 300th game. We did Gary did a segment on radio about milestones gone wrong while Bob was there. listed all 10 of them, including when India lost to Bangladesh on Sachin Tendulkar's big one. And Murph, Bob said that halfway through the third quarter when they were still trailing, he said, I was thinking about Gary's list of disastrous milestones. So.
Well, what about, I loved Heath Shaw turning up to the function. Plays for another club.
That was great.
But he's a premiership man. He's a Collingwood man, obviously. But even better, I love that Daisy Thomas got in on the celebration too and kicked that banana at the end to seal the deal. Oh, the irony. It was a beautiful thing.
I got a bit of feedback. I wasn't even there, but Fox were doing the game, and I got a bit of feedback from my Carlton mates who were watching, saying there wasn't enough cutaways of Eddie Maguire. So there is nothing better.
They've stopped sort of showing him in that seat that he always sits on. But I reckon Carlton fans thought they got their $750,000 worth.
Oh, just in that one goal. That
yeah, I'm not sure on a border start scale whether that.
No, he's back.
Yeah, he's playing well. Yeah.
Good on him. Mm. In fact, the Blues are excited. I know we spoke 3 weeks ago about how rubbish they were, but now they've got the balance right. Gee, yep. I love some of their Kurnos. He should wear number 43. Yeah. He's a clone.
That's Samo. The great man. Samo Petrescu Seaton.
Oh, or as Robbo said, I think. Chris Lewis just plays.
They are, to me, really well coached, and they are the MCG specialists. If you look at when they've played well, it's been at the MCG. And I think the MCG is a factor. We talk about it a lot with West Coast, but Carlton play well there. Hawthorn have played much better at the MCG than have played in other grounds. And West Coast on the weekend beat Port Adelaide. They can play on skinny grounds, but they just can't seem to play because they're better at Etihad than they are at the MCG. So for whatever reason, I think the way the game is played these days with the zones and so forth, the dimensions of the ground still play a big factor.
Very good coach. And on the coach,
just
Patrick
on Collingwood,
Smith.
Yeah. Oh, yes, Patrick has apologised.
He's apologised. Now, he's like the Fonz, Patrick Smith. He does not apologise. I'm wrong. But he's done it today. Well done.
He put it down the bottom end of his article, which, of course, you know, I'm not sure how many people would have got right to the end, but anyway. It's not meant to be a switch.
It was in the headline, though.
It was in the headline. Yeah, it was.
He was wrong.
What about Bucks then? Ooh. Is there any change in the situation? A win last week, a loss this week.
Come on, Loz, what do you think?
Oh, I think it's just another stay tuned. I mean, they're heading up to Spotless Stadium to play GWS, who are going to be smarting from Friday night.
If they get hammered, though.
If they get smashed.
Clokey won't wear that glove again this time around.
It's only going to change.
Him out, sorry.
The situation will only change if they get smashed. If they start getting beaten and the board are convinced that the players have, you know, are not playing for Bucks. While they're still playing for him and they're still being competitive, even if it's win-loss, whatever the situation is, they won't do anything until it gets to that point of the season where they can't make the finals, and then it might happen.
Even the games that they lost earlier in the season, they were in games, they were close. They were, as you said, if it starts getting, you know, 10-goal style, that's probably the only worry.
Yeah, well, they don't play Richmond for a while. But, you know, the strong view of the board is that only poor clubs punt the coach mid-year. So he will stay unless, because Craig Kelly is the fascinating figure in this. He's a Collingwood premiership player, he's a very powerful agent, he manages Buckley, he's a very good friend of Gary Pertz. I think the three of them had dinner recently. That adds another dimension to it, does it not, Hutto?
Well, maybe.
Does he manage you, Craig Kelly?
Yes, he does.
There you go. So, Lauren, what do you think he's excluded from this conversation?
Oh, well, he sounds like a pretty powerful man. I don't want to... I don't want to get him offside.
I think they would, at some stage along the journey, they'll be thinking about what Bucks wants to do next if he's clearly not going to be coached there next year. So it does get to that awkward stage. You know,
Craig's not the sort of guy who would allow his client to wither on the vine.
No, I agree. I think there could be a stage of the season where you go, you know what, we'll just pull the chat.
Do you think they've had that chat?
I don't think so. I think they would. But whether they've informally had it somewhere over a coffee or a beer or whatever, I don't know. But it's time for Is It Just Me? Loz, you can go first.
Made the hit trip down to Hobart over the weekend. Of course, it was absolutely freezing cold. I was in economy, actually, funnily enough. But absolutely blistering first quarter by the Roos. There's been plenty made of it. But is it just me or is it just about the best we've seen in recent history? They were all over the Crows.
The best first quarter.
I reckon it was up there. They absolutely piled them on as soon as Jared Waite booted two in a row early. I thought, we could be on here. I thought
especially
it was windier.
Adelaide have been going.
Yeah, wouldn't let Adelaide get it within 60 metres of their goal.
Strong breeze.
No, but this is the thing. There was a lot made of this strong breeze.
Okay, well, you were there.
I headed out. It's a very, very high press box down at Blundstone Arena, so you get the full effect of the wind. And I mean, there was a strong breeze, I would say, favouring one end, but I wouldn't say, compared to last year when the Roos headed down and played against Melbourne, it was at least an 8
what
goal breeze.
What odds would you have had of North Melbourne leading by 64 points to nil
we're on
before
the,
that game? It's 1,000 to 1.
Write your own ticket, just about, I reckon.
Exactly. We were on the plane going to Brisbane to get to the game on the Gold Coast. Well, sort of. And we got off and someone said, oh, the score in the footy, you're not going to believe it. Or we looked at it, 64 to nil.
Yeah.
Did you think it was been put in the wrong way?
Of course. Of course you would think that. It was, I mean, what a great performance by North Melbourne. The only other first quarters I can think of in recent times, and everyone will have a million different ones, was obviously Essendon smashing the Gold Coast. They were minnows at that stage. But last year's first quarter by Sydney against Geelong in that preliminary final, that was...
Didn't North do it to Essendon
pretty good.
In 1 year? And
yeah, but I think this one, the significance for me is that the way that they came into the game and the fact that they were ranked 15th, Adelaide are unbeaten, top of the ladder, the whole... kit and caboodle, it was just awesome.
He's a good coach, Brad Scott.
He is, yes. Mm-hmm.
What's yours, Mick?
Mine was, is Geelong overrated? Because I think they are. Because that's two in a row, two stinkers in a row. And I don't know, is Dangerfield still wearing the Lilo under the jumper with the sore ribs? That was the rumour. And when he's down and...
Well, when people are
Chris had Scott, Supercoach points.
Yeah, but. When Chris Scott says Geelong are having a bit of a flat spot, what he means is
they've hit the wall.
Danger is having a bit of a flat spot.
is he injured?
Well, he's clearly not 100%.
He had a rib injury, didn't he, in the Hawthorn game?
That was the suggestion. Mm.
Yeah, he definitely got cleaned up in that game, and he hasn't probably been the same since. But in spurts in games, he's still.
Do you think they're overrated?
Well, I don't know. Did anyone really, even after they were 5-0, there was still a lot of question marks over them, wasn't there? I think there still is. On the weekend, the Gold Coast had 71 inside 50s, and they were able to rip the ball, particularly in the first half.
Is everyone overrated?
Well,
coming back to equalisation.
Well, that's right.
Based on this round, they are.
I think they're still at their best. They're still a hard team to beat, and at their best, Dangerfield and Selwood play well, and Hawkins was okay on the weekend.
Speaking of Selwood, why wouldn't have Greenwood gone to Murphy?
Yeah.
I know I'm jumping around. But
well, that isn't, is it just me, isn't it, really?
Yes, that's my real one.
Well, he went to Doherty, didn't he? But didn't
that didn't last long.
Didn't seem to last. So my is it just me is Anzac Day really worth it for, that's the playing
this is based on Buckley's...
On Collingwood and Essendon.
Ludicrous suggestion.
Well, just on the fact that it's disrupted 3 weeks.
Well, it was worth it in 2000 when Essendon won the flag. It was worth it in 2010 when Collingwood won the flag. It was worth it in 2002, 2003 when they made the grand final.
So is this an anomaly?
It's worth
as
it
you
with
you
the millions
before.
Of dollars that they get that no one else gets.
But now you're in a situation where Essendon, for example, that was their third game in 13 days, playing Freo, who hadn't travelled for 3 weeks. So...
And they were very good. I mean, really, they should have been further ahead at quarter time, though. I saw that first quarter of that game, and they were dominant, and Ross went off his nut at quarter time.
You can't have your cake and eat it.
No, well, that's right. No. I'm just wondering...
Is it worth it?
Is it worth it? I mean, no. I think it probably is because of what they get and what it does for the game and all that sort of stuff, but it's there's consequences, potentially.
We talked about it a few weeks ago, too. Next year, I think, will be the interesting one that there'll have to be a lot more planning around because it'll be Wednesday.
The solution, though, is that they play each other.
Yeah,
Richmond
we talked
and Melbourne
about this, didn't we?
Could play
hopefully
Essendon and
our friends at AFL are listening and can take that on board.
Just quickly off Twitter, one of the questions we picked out, when will Tassie get an AFL team? You were down in Tassie on the weekend. Any update on that, Lauren?
Oh, not a specific update, but geez, they love it. I tell you what, the whole city was just absolutely pumping. I had got there nice and early,
made it to
the Salamanca markets for the first time. I tell you what,
it's great, isn't it?
Get down there on a Saturday.
Yeah,
it is awesome. And the place was just blue and white. Everyone was in their Adelaide gear. It was all roads led to Blundstone Arena basically on the weekend. So, I mean, we all think it might happen eventually,
well, on
don't
that,
we?
Unification's
I
one of the problems, though, isn't it?
That is the problem.
The Tasmanian government will not renew both of North Melbourne and Hawthorn at the next 2020 instalment. I believe that they will only accept one team and maybe no team.
Mm.
And they'll say,
open slather.
Come to us when you want us to have our own team. I think the Premier down there is a bit more bolshy on this than previous administrations.
I think the AFL weren't keen on Hawthorn extending last time.
No, they did that secretly.
Yep.
I love a secret deal.
But if your team is playing down there, highly recommend making a weekend of it.
The market's
awesome place.
Very good. Did you go to Mona
as
well?
No, I ran out of time to go to Mona. Actually, I was going to go yesterday. I stayed down there for Sunday, and it was absolutely for reason.
Barnburgle or
no, no, that's in Launceston, so
it's not really.
It's only for 3 or 4.
No, it wasn't not enough time.
Lauren's a golfer. Yeah, did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't know whether I'd call myself a golfer, but I.
All right, to finish off with round 7 games quickly. Let's go through the tips. West Coast versus the Dogs.
What a great game.
It's over there, I reckon, West Coast. Jake Stringer's knee.
Yeah, it's not too bad, though, is it?
No, I thought it was ACL,
was a shocker.
I reckon
just
Eagles.
Me, or is that Eddie Had Stadium just too firm? Dogs will win that. Love the Dogs.
No, I'll go for West Coast. Hawks and Lions.
In Lonnie.
Lions have been disappointing in the last few weeks since the Brisbane Dogs.
Yeah, could have got beaten by 100 yesterday. They were better after quarter time, but yeah, they. Yeah, I just wonder how long they can play those three
Beams
forwards
was out,
for.
That didn't help.
Yeah, it didn't help. Yeah, Hawthorn should win that.
What
if
do
they
think
don't.
Of the Rich incident? Derm was pretty harsh on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he was harsh on it. I'll leave Derm to say that. But
thought
yeah,
you'd say that.
Nah, well, it was, you know, Mike. I was probably more of an outside player, Mick, in my time.
Doesn't surprise me.
No, it wouldn't surprise anyone, I don't think, but highly skilled. Saints and Blues.
Highly skilled.
Saints for me. Yeah. You mentioned Carlton at the G before. This one's at Eddie had 2-10 Saturday.
Yeah, Saints for me too.
Pretty good game.
Yeah, it should be good.
Giant Pies.
Oh, well, you've got a back for the story there.
I think the Giants will be pretty focused.
To rebound.
Essendon and Geelong, the Sheeds pushing the country.
Yeah, big country game.
Geelong.
Yeah, Cats.
Big game, this one. Yeah, hopefully the Cats. Crows and D's.
Crows will be hurting after that
Melbourne
one.
Melbourne have got them over there a few times.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Would not
that
surprise
beautiful
me.
Stadium there.
Actually, it would surprise me if they beat them.
Yeah, I don't think they will.
Tigers and Freo, Mick. You've been pretty quiet in the Tigers.
Solar 0-1.
Both this
Tigers.
Week and last week.
Wow.
Yeah, but I will annihilate Fremantle.
North and
although we don't have a centre half forward. Well, we do. His name's Todd Elton, but we'd like. What do you think about the talk about Levi Casbolt slotting in there to the Tigers centre half forward?
Mm, I mean, you haven't had a really unreliable kick for goals since Richard.
That will get fit. Back.
Boom.
Good. North and Sydney.
North for me. Although maybe, if we stay tuned on MRP, it could be without Jared Waite with that tackle on Tom Lynch. We'll wait and see.
Buddy.
And Gold Coast at home.
Oh, this is
sort of.
This is a huge.
Support.
Yangwon Sports Paradise.
What's the form like at Yangwon Stadium?
I couldn't tell you what the surface
is like,
unfortunately.
There was a game there between Melbourne and Brisbane,
yeah,
actually.
That was when Tom Scully got really annoyed with his teammates. And
well, from what I've heard, there's a fair bit going on that trip. I think that if they kick into the sandstorm, they will lose.
Yeah, I think Port.
Whoever gets the breeze there.
Yeah, no, I'm going for Gold Coast in an upset. All right, that's it. Thanks for being with us on the Super Footy podcast for today. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes and review. Just review Mick only. to hear the latest episodes, of course, you can go back and listen to some of our gold from previous weeks too. For all your other AFL news, don't forget at Super Footy on Twitter. Use the hashtag SFPod if you want to ask us a question or put a comment, and we'll try and get to it on air. We'll be back next week with another huge round of footy to discuss after round 8. Have a great week, everyone.